The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
This mini lesson is one of a series, walking through what the Bible teaches about eldership and its importance in the church. As you consider these sessions, please pray with us and ask the Lord to guide our church in finding and calling elders. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
Ricky.
It's amazing. It's been a year. That's awesome. But today we're going to begin something that we're calling mini lessons on the elder mini lessons on the characteristics of elders found in Titus and 1 Timothy. They'll be about 5 to 10 minutes long. There'll be 18 of them. We're going to do them every 2 weeks. So we anticipate to be done in September of this year. And our goal is that we learn biblically what it is to be an elder and what an elder's functions and responsibilities are, so that then in 2019 we're ready to call elders and have them for our church. So we're going to look at Titus today, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. So if you'll turn there, I'll give you a little bit and we'll read it. So in Titus 1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So here we have Paul. Clearly he's writing a letter to Titus, and he refers to him as his co-worker, and we see that in 2 Corinthians 8:23. Titus is in fact mentioned over 10 times in the New Testament. In Paul's letters. And these letters that we're going to go over, Titus and 1 Timothy, and then with addition of 2 Timothy, are known as the pastoral epistles. And so I think it's important that we kind of have an understanding of where Paul is in his life, a little context as to where he is, and to understand the importance of these epistles. So Titus was written sometime between 62 and 64 A.D. Now, Paul was converted on the road to Damascus in 34 A.D., Paul's missionary journeys, his three missionary journeys, happened between 47 and 54 A.D. Then in 55 A.D., Paul's in Jerusalem, where he's arrested, and then he's taken to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. Now, he's taken to Rome because he's a Roman citizen. Now, for our purposes, it's not necessary to know why Paul is a Roman citizen. If you're interested, come find one of us, and we can explain that to you. But this is kind of the reason why he gets together, because he's a Roman citizen and he claims that, and so he's sent to Rome to stand before Caesar. So, in about 60 AD, Paul is acquitted of these charges against him and set free. Now, we're not sure where Paul went after he's acquitted. Some people think he might have gone to Spain. We're not sure. But he's written these letters at this time. But what we do know is that then he's imprisoned a second time in Rome, probably about 65 or 66. And this second imprisonment is where he writes the third of the pastoral epistles, 2 Timothy. And this second imprisonment is where Paul is ultimately killed. The early fathers have that he was beheaded in Rome. And that's how he died, by Caesar, because the fires of Rome happened in 64 AD. And this is when Nero was Caesar and started killing all the Christians. But so between the first and the second imprisonment is when Paul wrote Titus and 1 Timothy. And I think it's important because these letters were not written at the beginning of Paul's ministry or the middle of Paul's ministry. They're written at the end of this ministry. So Paul has traveled all over the Roman world, setting up churches everywhere he went, defending the doctrine of Christ. You know, he went back to Jerusalem and talked about circumcisions were dealt with Titus here. They were saying you have to be circumcised as well. And Paul said, no, you don't. So Paul has set up churches and defended the doctrine of Christianity here. And so then now what he's doing is he's reminding Titus to set up elders as he has done. He's basically saying He says, commanded you, some people will say appointed or instructed. But Paul is saying, do what I've taught you to do. So why does Paul value elders so much? I think we find that in the first three verses. Paul tells us that he's a servant of God and he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. So what Paul is saying is he's subordinate to God and he's a teacher of what Jesus taught. And in verse 3, he says that God has commanded me to preach, to teach what Jesus has entrusted to him. And the purpose of Paul's teaching is for God's elect. It's for Christians. It's to teach them to know the truth of God, which is his word, so they can live godly lives and they can be assured of their salvation in Christ. So what we'll see through our series is we'll see that elders are called to teach. And Paul has just told us the reason why. It's because they're told to teach the truth that Jesus has taught them. Last week, Chris said the example that elders are to follow is Jesus, and that's exactly right. How did Jesus lead? Well, Jesus was a servant. You know, you go to any bookstore and find books on leadership, and they're not going to teach you how Jesus led. Warren Buffett, or for you younger people, Mark Zuckerberg, probably do not go down to the janitorial room and remove the janitor's boots and socks and give them a pedicure. But we know Jesus washed his apostles' feet. For those of you who are my age, you remember Storm and Norman Schwarzkopf from the first Desert War? He probably wouldn't have picked Peter as a leader. Peter was the man who denied Christ three times in Jesus' time of need. So what we're getting at is that it's the heart of a man that you have to look at. And the example of servanthood is depicted clearly in Philippians 2:5-11. And in Philippians 2:5-11, it basically says Jesus was God, and he gave all that up, came down, became a man, and even died on a cross for us. Paul states it this way in 2 Corinthians 8:9, that Jesus gave up his wealth to become poor so that in his poverty we could attain wealth, so that we could have salvation and eternity with Christ. So let's go back and look at Titus and notice at the beginning of the letter, Paul doesn't start by saying, Titus, do it this way because I've been doing it for 20 years and it works. Just do what I tell you. He remains a servant of Christ, or a servant of God, I'm sorry. He does not become puffed up by his success and say, you know, I've done it the right way, it works, here's my five steps on how to set up a church. He continues to reign, to remain a servant of God and follow him. He doesn't get puffed up. He remembers who is in charge. And he does this by, as Chris said, his example is Christ. He does this by following Christ. In 2 Corinthians 11:1, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, I'm sorry, that first one was 1 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, as you focus on Jesus, that's how you become to live a godly life. It's the focus on Jesus that changes your heart to become a servant's heart because Christ is your example. And so this is what we're going to see as we go through these characteristics of elders, is they're going to show us what a man's heart is. What these characteristics will show us is that a man that is called to be an elder is not all about himself. He's not out chasing women. He's not out partying. He takes time to shepherd his family, and he's not all about money. What it shows us is he is not the center of his own world. He is a servant in his world. He's a servant. He's a teacher. He's like Paul, and he's like Jesus. In 1 Samuel 16, God tells Samuel that men look at the outward appearance of men, but God looks at their heart. And that's why God picked David. So, to lead God's church, you have to have a right heart, not a right resume. Because a right resume will not lead God's church as Jesus would. But a man with a right heart will. Thank you, and we look forward to these lessons together. Sammy?
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.